Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And the word of God for our meditation this morning is the epistle lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 1, particularly this verse. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Heavenly Father, grant us a message for our hearts and grant us hearts for your message. Amen. Have you ever tried comparing yourself with a character from the Bible? How about Moses? Because you're always carrying tablets around in your pocket or your handbag. Or maybe Martha. You know, you have a genuine desire to serve the Lord, but sometimes you forget that listening to the Lord is more important than staying home cooking lunch for the family. Or how about the Apostle Paul? Pardon? Did you say the Apostle Paul? I can compare myself with the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary, the greatest theologian in the New Testament church? You've got to be joking. But in our sermon this morning, we want to see that we are similar in three ways. We are the chief of sinners. We are chosen by grace. We have been commissioned to serve cheerfully. So let's see how we fit into Paul's story. Actually, Paul's story doesn't start very well, does it? Not very flattering. He tells us in our text, for instance, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. The first time the Bible mentions Paul, he is called Saul, and we find him looking after the cloaks of some violent men who are stoning Stephen to death, the deacon in the Christian church, the first Christian martyr. And Saul is there looking on and agreeing with everything that's happening. And then we find him on his way to Damascus to round up the Christians in that city in order to imprison them. You see, he thought he was fighting a holy war and that he was carrying out the will of God. So we're not surprised to hear him confess in our text that he is the worst sinner of all. Notice that he's not referring to his past life when he was like a raging bull in a china shop as far as the Christian church was concerned. He uses the present tense. He says, I am the worst. He is saying this as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is saying this as the greatest missionary and theologian in the Christian church. I am the worst. Ah, that's got to be an exaggeration, don't you think? Surely there were more wicked people around the place than the Apostle Paul. How about King Herod, for instance? He was the guy who ordered his soldiers to put to death all the baby boys 2 years of age and under around the vicinity of Bethlehem because he was afraid that one day one of those children would grow up and steal his throne. Well, what about the Emperor Nero in Rome who took great delight in persecuting the Christians for the amusement of his subjects? But Paul was right in saying that he was the worst sinner. Because, you see, he was comparing himself to God. He was comparing himself to God. When Jesus was here on earth, he told his followers, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Paul knew that he fell far short of that perfection, just as we do. Compared with God, therefore, we are the chief of sinners. So this is the first way that we are like the Apostle Paul. We too are the chief of sinners in comparison with the perfection of God. So don't fall into Satan's trap or into his lie of believing that you're not so bad after all when you compare yourselves with other people around the place. Like the serpent in the garden, we don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to perfection, to our perfection, imperfection. Well, where does this leave us? Thankfully, Paul's story and our story doesn't end in the court of God's justice. It ends in the palace of God's grace. Paul went on to write in our text, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Although you and I, along with Paul, can claim to be the chief of sinners, the beautiful truth is that God will never, ever call us the chief of sinners. And the reason for that is because of his Son. His Son who came into the world to save sinners. Jesus paid for our pardon by his perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And by embracing him in faith as our Saviour, as our sin bearer, God doesn't see our sins. Instead, he sees the precious and holy blood of his Son covering them once and for all. Now, what moved Jesus to provide this amazing rescue mission for us, the chief of sinners? Once again, Paul gives us the answer. Even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God saved Paul. Paul is acknowledging simply and purely because of his grace, because of his mercy towards him. God saw nothing in Paul that appealed to him at the time. He was an enemy of God. He was an enemy of the church. And yet God reached out to him and rescued him because of his mercy. Once again, do you see yourself in Paul's story? It's exactly the same for us when it comes to the mercy of God. Do you remember these amazing words of Paul? For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. This is telling us that God chose even us, who just like Paul were the chief of sinners, chose us because of his grace. Perhaps John Newton, the converted slave trader, explained it best when he said, "When I get to heaven, I shall see three wonders there. The first wonder will be to see many people whom I did not expect to see there. The second wonder will be to miss many people whom I did expect to see there. And the third and greatest wonder of all will be to find myself there." When you stop and think about it, isn't it wonderful that God should choose us to be his own, who are the chief of sinners? Is this the end of the story? No, just as Paul's story didn't end with his conversion, neither does ours. Paul wrote in our text, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." You see, God not only brings us to faith in Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, but he also commissions us to serve him. He puts us to work in his kingdom. In Paul's case, it was planting churches all over the Mediterranean world. In our case, it may mean cleaning the church, putting flowers in the church, acting as an elder, as an usher, as a steward, peeling potatoes, digging ditches, driving a bus, working in an office, looking after your family, you name it. But remember, wherever God has placed you, he expects you to serve him by serving others. And there's only one way to serve, cheerfully. Paul was cheerful in service in spite of all that he had to go through in the service of God. You know how he was beaten with rods, how he was stoned, how he was shipwrecked, how he was imprisoned. It was one thing after the other. And yet we find Paul constantly praising God for the privilege of serving him, of being a cheerful servant of God. Why? Because he knew that God accepted his meager service. So he wrote to the Corinthians, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Whatever Paul achieved in the kingdom of God as a missionary, whatever we achieve in the kingdom of God, no matter how small it is, it's always due to God's grace at work in us. If it were not for God's grace, we wouldn't be the children of God. If it were not for the God of grace, we wouldn't have the ability to serve God. If it were not for the grace of God, we would be nothing. It's always due to the grace of God in our lives. So never expect a medal or even praise for your service. The glory always belonged to God. Without God, you would be nothing and you would have nothing. Glory, glory, glory belongs to God. Just remember what Jesus did for you on the cross, and surely that will motivate you to serve cheerfully just as Paul did. Well, I started the sermon this morning by asking you whether you ever compared yourself with a character from the Bible. By now, God willing, you can see yourself in Paul's story. Because Paul's story, you see, is the Christian's story. We're all chief of sinners. We've all been saved by grace, not our doing. And we've all been commissioned to serve in his kingdom. Surely this must move us to say with Paul in our text, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory, now and always. Amen.